morning, and welcome to the Tuesday, Election Day edition of the Tuesday Morning Show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, with my co-host, Julie. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a reasonably nice day out. We're going to get to the weather in a few minutes. The week's going to hold a lot of fall weather, ups and downs there.
It looks like a lot of volatile weather with one good day.
Are they stirring up the fish? Are you getting any last fishing in?
No, and Phil, it's hunting season now. Okay. Fishing season is winding down.
Well, you can't do both?
Oh, we can, but I've been concentrating on a little bit of deer hunting.
Oh, okay. Getting the grazers on your property? Keeping them in check?
Kind of keeping an eye on them.
Good. Well, we're going to get to the show in a moment, but right now we've got the weather. It's on everybody's mind. Driving in today, looked like a little light sprinkles in our future, and that's what the National Weather Service says. 60% chance of showers and patchy fog likely today. A high of 46. Tonight, a low of 31. Showers likely, and then possibly scattered rain, snow even. Looking up the mountains, it seems to be starting.
That's right. I saw snow on Schweitzer yesterday, and where one of our guests lives, I have a feeling it's going to get snowy pretty soon.
Well, it's supposed to snow later this week. Wednesday, scattered rain, snow mix, and then isolated showers, a high of 44, a low of, it doesn't say? Oh, there it is, 24.
Yeah.
24.
Cold.
Okay. Thursday is supposed to be nice. Thursday night, patchy fog. Friday, we're into snowflakes, and we'll see what the weekend holds. It's a long ways out.
That's right.
But we have a wild week of weather coming up, and we have a wild show. We have three guests in the studio with us today. We're going to introduce them briefly and then get to know them a little better. Marilyn McIntyre, who moved here in the modern Pioneer area. She's going to talk to us about that, literally living off the grid, miles from nowhere. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning, Phil. Good morning, Julie.
We're going to get her professional take as a forester, her observations as a pioneer, and as an artist. That's a wonderful way to view our landscape. We also have in the studio with us this morning Shelby Herber from Idaho Conservation League. Good morning, Shelby.
Morning, Phil. Morning, Julie.
Good morning, Shelby.
And Britta Meyerly from the Friends of Scotch and Peaks. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to talk a little bit more about both of them, the great transitions to our conservation community afoot, and the Wild Night for Wilderness coming up this week.
It's a wild program.
It's a wild program, appropriate for November.
That's right.
So why don't we start with a big, warm, and hearty hail welcome to Shelby, who's recently transplanted herself to North Idaho.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, so you're the new kid on the block at ICL. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, we want to hear everything about you, Shelby.
Everything. Okay, well, let's see. I was born and raised in Kirkland, Washington, just a suburb of Seattle. Grew up in a family that really loved the outdoors, so spent a lot of time during the summers boating, traveling to different parts of Washington and around the Pacific Northwest, hiking, that whole thing, and just really found a passion for the water and water conservation, and that sort of bled into getting really fascinated by the ocean and drew me essentially to apply to Western Washington University in Bellingham. And yeah, went up there for school and was involved in their Huxley College of Education or in Environmental Education. And it was just a really awesome experience. It was an opportunity where I had the chance to go down to the Oregon coast and work for one of the labs down there through a research experience for undergrad program. So I really got to see the science side of environmental science. And that led into me doing a conservation job through AmeriCorps, working with one of the nonprofits over in the Skagit region. And so that was really neat to have an experience to gain hands-on experience doing conservation work and restoration focused around salmon health. And then that led into me getting more involved in the education side of this field and working for the Seattle Pacific Science Center. So that was neat to see a more formal setting within the field. However, kind of during that time, let's see, I was up in Bellingham Park for 6 years. I was interested in making a difference in a more unique way, or just like had a longing to do something a little bit more dramatic. And so my partner and I decided to apply for the Peace Corps, and we both got in and went to the Philippines for the last 2 years, and both did work in our majors. So I was doing coastal resource management, and he was working with the children, youth, and families. And so that was a whole wild experience in itself. And yeah, so during that time, we talked about what we would do next, kind of towards the end of our service. And he had lived in Sandpoint for part of his life. And I was immediately sold, as I had visited twice prior to leaving for the Philippines. And there were pretty peak times during the summer or spring skiing weekend. So, yeah, what's not to love here in Sandpoint?
And we're so lucky to have you.
Yeah.
This is wonderful that you could find work that's important to you here.
Yeah, it's awesome. Just it really worked out with Idaho Conservation League as well, and being able to pursue something.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Idaho Conservation League.
Yeah, so I'm the community engagement assistant there. And I suppose in a nutshell, my job revolves around connecting people to the ICL programs and place. For me specifically, that's meaning more like North Idaho region, and connecting kind of this trifecta through our outreach, our education, the events we put on, and even the partnerships that we have.
And thank how's you. It going? Are you enjoying it?
Yes, I'm really loving it.
Oh, good.
It's been so, so positive.
Well, it's a positive group you work with. Welcome, yeah. Shelby. Yeah,
thanks so much.
Welcome to our neighborhood.
Thanks.
And Britta Meyerly of Friends of Scotchman Peak, you have news because you're in a new position there.
I am. I was promoted from the assistant program coordinator to deputy executive director in August. And then our ED promptly took a vacation. I think it was probably earned and needed.
A busy summer.
Yes, very busy summer. So
I'm sure it was.
So I'm doing more work now as part of the leadership team, and involved more with our board of directors, and am going to be running Winter Treks this winter. And it's an outdoor educational experience that we do for area students. We coordinate with the schools and have a group of amazing volunteers, and take them in Bonner County. We take them out to Round Lake and spend a day there learning about the great outdoors. And next summer, I will be taking over as our GO ambassador. So instead of Mary, it'll be me coordinating volunteers to hike up Scotchman Peak and talk to hikers about being safe in goat territory.
That's a big expansion of your responsibilities.
It is. And, you know, I only added about 10 hours a week, but it's feeling like more.
You'll settle in. You'll have it so organized.
Yes.
It'll just be snap, snap,
it's
snap.
That's the plan.
And
that's
so
right.
We talked with all our guests, and a particular theme for this morning is what brought people to the area and what keeps them here. So tell us about your story of coming to Sandpoint.
So my husband and I moved here from Fort Collins, Colorado. I grew up in South Dakota and Wyoming, and went to undergrad at the University of Wyoming. So I was used to kind of smaller areas. He's from Indiana in a town that's very small. And we were in Fort Collins and thinking, man, it's a really long drive to the ski resorts, and there's so many people, and we're sick of traffic. And he saw this article in National Geographic about underrated ski towns. And so we started looking at the list. We're like, Reno, ugh. Gunnison, too isolated. And then we're like, oh, Sandpoint, where's that? Find it on a map. And so then we took a drive up here and thought, oh, yeah, that's really pretty. And sold our house and moved.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Most spontaneous thing I've ever done.
That's so pretty neat. And it's worked out.
It has. Yeah. So we bought a house in Sagal and promptly got pregnant and had a little girl. And now he's working here in Sandpoint and I work for the Friends. So we've been here 3 years this week, give or take.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we've heard about our two new comers to the area, relative newcomers, and now we're going to talk to an old comer to the area. And so I'm going to reintroduce Marilyn McIntyre. Marilyn.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Phil, you've known Marilyn forever, so I might let you continue on the introduction.
Well, I've known Marilyn a long time in the sense of full disclosure, and so I do know some of her story, although we're going to ask her to retell it. And I've been wanting to have Marilyn on the show for some time. Part of the theme of the Tuesday morning show is to give voice to people in the community who are close to the landscape, close to the North Idaho lifestyle, and have something interesting to say. And I think that really captures Marilyn. And so maybe begin at the beginning, as we've asked Shelby and Britta, and tell us what brought you to the area and then really take it on from there.
Well, honestly, Western larch trees.
Yeah.
And moving as far away from a phone as I could get at that time in my life. I was young and didn't want to have my mother calling me every 15 minutes, day and night. So I was a nomadic tree planter with a great group of people and ended up on the Yak River and planted these little sticks, little brown sticks, gray sticks, that were called larch trees. And I couldn't quite make the connect with the big ones that were around these huge clear cuts that we were planting. But when I did, it was love at first, second, and last sight. I never left.
And that was the forest. We worked for the Forest Service.
No, I was with a private tree planting contractor that we were planting Forest Service cut lands up on the Yak. Yes.
I see. And they smell so great, tamaracks.
Not to try to date you, but how long ago was that?
About 1980.
1980. And then how did you make it from the Yak down to Bonner County?
Well, I had dear friends who had happened to move to Paradise Valley in Bonner's Ferry. And I went there immediately, stayed with them, and saw an ad in the newspaper for what became my place with the capital P.
So you found a piece of land and you fell in love with it.
Exactly. And it is really like having a close loved one in your life, having a place that's really yours.
And you have a really special place. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
I do. It's at the top of the Grouse Creek drainage. It's right where the Main Fork and the South Fork come together. And it's a plateau where all the water comes down off of Strawberry Mountain and keeps everything wet. And it's just beautiful. And plus, then I can look out to the southwest right down Grouse Creek and see the Selkirk Mountains and
yeah, it's a unique microclimate, though, too, right? It's really a unique little spot where you live.
It's very wet, and it was for years a lot colder every time the weather would come on. That's changed. That we're more equal with Sandpoint now. The higher elevations are getting warmer.
And drier, it sounds
like. And drier, yes.
We want to talk about the changes, but before we do that, tell us a little bit more about your lifestyle. In the winter, you don't come into town much. Give us more about that.
No, because the first good snow closes our road. It's not plowed. The Grouse Creek Road's not plowed, and so we have the snowmobile. But honestly, it's lost the novelty of jumping on the snow machine and running into town on that new snow, because, as you said, I am getting older. Things hurt more. Yeah. So we've kind of pulled back, and we're spending more time up there. And that's good. For years, I never came to Sandpoint. It was just all you could do in Sandpoint was spend money, and I didn't.
Yeah. It's not like you're going a quarter mile in the snow machine. It's some distance.
Yeah, we have to go 8 miles to where our rig is parked.
8 miles? By snowmobile.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And Marilyn, when you say we, who's the we in your family?
My husband. Yeah. My husband, J.D., and he came up there in 2001, and has really done an incredible job of completing my dreams that I had for the place I would live in. And we have a beautiful home now that was once just an old log cabin with no chinking. Uh-huh. Come a long ways.
And tell us about that dream. Draw a picture for folks of what that place is like.
Well, I had a dream of having a studio that I lived in, basically. So my thing is art. And of course, nature journaling. I spend every day hiking out behind, to this day, every day I take my dogs and my journal and I go out for a hike or a walk, depending on everything. And that hasn't changed a bit. And with that, I've been able to use my art as a way to tell my stories. And I'm continuing to do that.
And they do tell stories. If you're out and about town, I've been up at the vet north on Highway 95, and I've seen one of Marilyn's originals. That's two dogs walking on a little dirt road. I love it. You can be at the Native Plant Society, and her postcards are available for sale through the nonprofit and just about everywhere else, aren't they, Phil? They're beautiful.
Including in the wild art auction we have.
We're going to get to more of that soon. But yeah, Marilyn has a fabulous artistic eye. And we're going to talk a lot about her art in a bit. And it's, I think, part of what drew you to the area and keeps you there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it wasn't what sustained you financially, though. Tell us about the early days of living there and making a living there.
Right. It was a scramble. I mean, I didn't have the plans that these beautiful young women have here. I just was following my nose, basically. I had already graduated from college, and I'd spent some years working with developmentally disabled children and families, and I really needed a change. And mountains have always been part of my life. I've always been in the mountains from the time I could walk. My dad had me on a burro or on the back of a horse or hiking into the mountains. So that was...
They drew you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're part of me.
Yeah. And then you went to work as a forester.
That's right. I went to work as I was the foreman of the timber crew at the Idaho Department of Lands in Sandpoint. And I worked up through that to be a forestry technician. And then I also, because of my art, and I drew a drawing for a shift plan cover on a fire. And boom, that was it. I was going to become a firefighter, and I did, and ended up on incident management teams here and in Montana for 25 years.
So kind of stressful, I would think. That's got to be a bit of a stressful job.
I loved it. I loved it. It was like going away to summer camp.
you would drive into town for an hour to go to the headquarters to drive back out of town an hour to some project site. So you'd see a lot of trees along the way.
Yeah, a lot. And I've seen every square inch of this part of the world here. Mm-hmm. You know, in the mountains.
Good, and you got to get paid to do it.
That's
always a plus.
Not so remote you can't get KRFY. We know Marilyn, for full disclosure, also is a regular listener. It's nice to have you in the studio, although it means one less listener in the audience. but it might mean a few more.
I have a few out there listening in South Africa.
Shout out to some of your friends. Neighbors, tell us about your neighbors.
Whoa, there's been a huge cycle of that. I'm the last one that's been there a long time. I call myself the Grand Dame of Grouse Creek. That's a secret. But
not anymore.
I have some great neighbors, and we don't spend a lot of time together. But I just found out this week when one of the big things that happens in North Idaho at this time of year is you get a little rain, and every logger in the county goes out and lights off their slash piles because it's their window of opportunity to get those things burned up. Well, my new Arizona neighbors saw those going off across the creek and thought the whole world was on fire. Called another neighbor. Pretty soon, I had four people calling me to come and look. And I thought, well, we do still have a neighborhood up here. It's on smartphones.
Yeah. So that's one of the changes. Reflect on some of the other changes to the both cultural and natural landscape in your neighborhood.
Well, we used to be just very alpine when I first came, and now it's beginning to look more like other drainages that I went to and said, oh my gosh, I can't live here. It's been heavily logged. Well, that's starting to happen now around me on the private land. The Forest Service logged a few years ago and made great improvements to the whole landscape with that logging. Mm-hmm. But this one is scarier because they're taking cedar, because the cedar, the value is so high. Mm-hmm. And they just take it, you know, as much as they can get.
Mm-hmm. So the landscape is looking different.
Well, once you go through my gate, it looks exactly the same where I live. I see no lights. There's no private land that I can see. So I have no lights when I look out and never have. That's kind of nice. Solitude is the big word. And there's very few neighbors that live there year round now. Mm-hmm. One.
Does it feel isolated at times?
Never. I love that. Maybe it's my Scottish heritage that to live in the middle of nowhere, but I'm quite happy there. I couldn't be an artist without that solitude. So that's a...
It unclutters the mind.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which is very cluttered anyway. If you're a creative person, you've got mm-hmm. a messy mind.
Well, Marilyn, of course, the mind of the artist is messy in your thinking, and I'm sure having ideas. When are you most productive? When do you get the most work done on your art?
It would be in the mornings, and it would be in the winter, because in the summer I'm very busy outside, although I'm always doing my journaling. But for real painting and work, I do that in the winter time.
A nice cycle, then, a time for Perfect. Work and a time for thought and art.
Right.
Nice.
And so it sounds very appealing, and you've described a few of the hardships, but tell us a little bit more about how challenging it can be.
I was going to say, that's a big word. That's a challenge is what it is. I've watched a lot of people come and go, mm-hmm. and you have to be really prepared for the worst mm-hmm. all the time. It may not snow, or it might snow 27 feet.
What is the worst? Just being snowed in?
Oh, that's the best.
This is a matter of perspective.
Yeah, the worst, I can't think of the worst, really, other than just when there's so many people up there. And actually, right now, it's always challenging because we're under siege. It is hunting season, which we do, you know, and it's part of the life here. But to have your cabin in the middle of it is really important, that you keep your eyes open and your ears open and pay attention. I think that's mm-hmm. the most important thing of living like we do, is you have to pay attention all the time. And I don't.
But you've got luckily you've got a partner to pay attention when you're not.
Right.
Well, we've talked to Flora a little bit, and you've mentioned hunters. Tell us a little bit more about the fauna, the animals. What do you see coming through, and what changes do you see?
We haven't had nearly the number of moose that we originally used to have. We were like a moose land where we lived. They would gather there in the marshlands near us. And we haven't had that. We have one or two that go around us now, because I have a Siberian husky who just doesn't like them to come right through the yard. He doesn't chase them, but he sure does tell them they need to go around the edges. We have cougars, and we have everything. And I even saw... sorry, I can't think of that critter right now. My mind went blank. We were looking for it up on Scotchman's with traps.
So wolverine? Or
wolverine. Fishing? I had yeah. wolverine tracks going through there a few years ago. And I've seen fishers. I've seen martens. We had a bear come last fall and about took our dogs out because I think he didn't have any more jelly donuts to be eaten. And that's the only bear problem we've ever had, because they were always afraid of dogs, because they were hunted with dogs. They had radio mm-hmm. collars. These dogs would come and all torn up, you know, to our cabin from the bears. So never had a bear problem till just this last year.
We should have just given you a camera and had you set a station up there.
It would have been good.
Yeah.
And not to start a contentious subject, but what about wolves? Were wolves present when you moved to the area? And...
Not that I was aware of, but I'm certainly aware, and I haven't been for since they started trapping them and hunting them seriously. We haven't had any more coming through, but the dogs were asleep when one went through, and the tracks were as big as you can get, and he was a big black wolf that was going up, and I was thrilled, of course. I have no fear of those animals. You just have to use your smarts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty. That was pretty exciting. But I'm kind of sorry that they took so many of that Calder Mountain pack out.
Mm. So what's the wildest thing that's happened to you in your time there?
Wildest
or most unusual?
Well, I can go back to a moose, and I can go to going up the trail along Strawberry Creek to take care of our neighbor's place in the winter when they were gone. And the snow was so heavy that it brought all the alder down across the trail. And the moose were using our trails. The snow was so deep. That year we got 27 feet of snow. And it was so deep that the moose were using our snowmobile trails, which were packed. And there we go. And we stop because there's a moose facing us with on our snow machine. And you suddenly feel really small and really vulnerable. And you know how important your snow machine is to you, and you really would hate to have a moose trash it. So my partner got up, and he had a gun, and he shot at the ground. He shot at the ground, and the moose didn't even move.
Oh.
And he stood there a minute, and then he just threw his arms and feet out and yelled, "Ah!" And that moose was gone in an instant. It was kind of exciting and interesting how that worked.
That's unusual. I know you've told me about your cross-country ski trips. You do more than snowmobile around the place.
I do. I live on my cross-country skis.
What's that like?
It's fabulous. Yeah. I mean, I had many, many years. In the old days, in the 80s, we called the snow Pondere Premix. It was so wet and so heavy, and it was a lot harder to deal with. This last winter, when we got a lot of snow, it was 32 degrees and I had champagne powder. I was astonished. There was just no moisture in it. So that skiing was great, but it kind of had me startled as to what was going on.
Well, it's not every year, though. You have to take advantage when you can.
Yeah, you never know.
Any other, we're going to take a break soon, but any other changes you want to reflect on in your time there?
Well, I think that's probably the fact that I have a really good rig that, you know, all-wheel drive, and I can come and go much more easily. The road has been improved so much. So it's access, I believe, mm-hmm. has really improved. Mm-hmm. And our living, of course. We're techno-rustic. That's what we call ourselves.
Describe that for us.
Techno-rustic. Well, we have solar power, and we have all of the implements that everybody has in this station right here. Well, not all of them, but we have cell phone and we have internet and we can flip the lights on and off, and so it's pretty cool.
Yep. Solar power and satellites.
Right.
Doesn't get much better. So if I were to sum that up, you're not in town as often, but you're maybe a bit more connected than you used to be.
I am really connected. Since when I retired from the Department of Lands, I had my connection with the people I worked with there. But when I retired, I decided to join the Native Plant Society. And because I could only choose one thing because of the, it's 50 miles round trip, you know. So I chose the Native Plant Society, and what an amazing group of people it is and doing such wonderful things. So that's my connection now.
And like you, they're trying to keep track of what's happening with native plants out in the environment. So you really have that link, don't you?
Yes, we do. We do.
Well, that's a wonderful note to take a little segue on. We're going to take a short break. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY. Pondere, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, and we're talking with three women of wilderness this morning, Britta Meyerly, Shelby Herber, and Marilyn McIntyre. Marilyn's been telling us her tales, and we're going to come back and talk about the Wild Night for Wilderness coming up soon, but oh yeah, Cat Stevens, T from the Tillermans, the album Miles from Nowhere, an homage to Marilyn's lifestyle.
Man, that is Miles from Nowhere, Marilyn.
That song's a blast from the past, isn't it?
And a good one.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in again, we're listening to or we're interviewing three women of wilderness this morning, Britta Meyerly, Shelby Herber, and Marilyn McIntyre, along with our own resident woman of wilderness or wild lands, at least, Julie
Kalamai. Try, but I'm not a designated wild woman of wilderness.
You're pretty darn close. What's today?
Oh, well, this is not related to Wild Wilderness, but as everyone knows or should know, today is Election Day, and this is the day that we all need to be sure to get out and vote, no matter who you might be voting for. It's very important to exercise your right to vote. We're a democracy, folks. Get out there and do it.
Yep. Democracy belongs only to those, really, who participate at the voting booth.
That's right.
So we're going to shift a little bit to some upcoming event stuff, and Britta and Shelby, tell us about Thursday night.
Well, thanks, Phil. So this Thursday, we are hosting a Wild Night for Wilderness at the new Matchwood Brewing over in the Granary District by Evans Brothers here in Sandpoint. We're co-hosting it with Idaho Conservation League, and we have some awesome sponsors for it. Idaho Forest Group, Sandpoint Equine, and The Reader are all sponsors. So we'll be celebrating wilderness, all things wilderness, and also honoring some of Friends of Saskatchewan Peaks Wilderness volunteers. So if you if you're one of our volunteers, make sure to come out. We want to see you on Thursday. The show starts at 4:30, wraps up around 8, and Oak Street Connection is going to be playing music for us, and then you're going to start about 5.
Wow, a new place to check out in Sandpoint. Music and a great cause, a great reason to attend.
Music, art, beer, you know, what more could there
sort
be?
Sort of it, that's all. Well, I need.
There is more.
Yeah, we'll also have a raffle going on during the event, and there's some really cool prizes, including, season passes to the festival.
Wow.
Evans Brothers.
That's big.
Yeah, that's huge. Evans Brothers contributing, as well as Beaten Basil, Le Chic Boutique, Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, Backpack River Buttonworks, Panhandler Pies, Upside Kombucha, Syringa Cyclery, Sandpoint Hot Yoga, Winter Ridge, Ponderay Winery, and even a couple more. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Mm-hmm. A reason to come in itself.
And bring your checkbook.
That's right.
Yes, please bring your checkbook. And we'll be selling raffle tickets, and then we'll have jars in front of the different prizes. So if you really want that pair of festival passes, and the festival basket has a blanket in it and a couple of the nice festival metal tumblers. They really went all out. We're very thankful to that. And the Syringa Cyclery one is huge too. There's a Linus bicycle basket and some awesome things in it. So we'll have jars in front of each of the prizes. And so you can put all your raffle tickets in one jar if you want.
And there's more though. Artists are contributing, and we have one of those artists right here. Marilyn, talk to us.
Wow. This is the Scotchman's Peak. Original plein air paint outs were what really drew me in the first place, because I started doing that from the first year on, and we had some incredible times painting all around the Scotchman's Peaks. So that's why I wanted to put a painting in there.
And so tell us a little bit about plein air painting. I'm fascinated by it, but some of our listeners may not be familiar with it.
Well, it's pretty much what it says if you speak French. You're outside in the plein air, and you're painting right there. You're not working from a photograph or anything else. You're in the air. You feel it. Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference. I think the essence of my best paintings were the ones that are painted in plein air.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What a neat way to get inspiration.
It is, truly.
Yeah. Marilyn, do you finish your work in that setting, or do you get it started? How does your process work with plein air painting?
Well, I always finished them because we had to have them ready to show. We had to put them together, and it was difficult with watercolors. I must say, I paint with watercolor, not oils. Most plein air painters use oils. Mm-hmm. And for me, because you have to wait for them to dry, the watercolors, before you can add different layers, I learned how to work differently.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Throw in a few watercolor crayons and just get more.
And so it seems like there's a real obvious connection between the style of art and the inspiration. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my style is pretty much just seat of my pants. Sometimes literally.
Yeah. But although it looks like you use a brush.
I do a lot of pouring. And I do use a brush, yes.
Well, I'm interested in knowing if your plein air paintings turn out looking differently than the ones you work on in the winter at home. Are they quite
different? Yeah, absolutely. They're different. The one I have in this auction is a studio painting, but that happens to be the view from my studio window, that painting. And I did that. So it's kind of plein air, except it was a little warmer.
Tell us about some of the other artists. I know there's a lot of plein air artists who are going to be on display.
Yeah, so we've kind of been touching on it. So we're having a wild art auction as part of the Wild Night for Wilderness. And we have some really amazing artists in it. So Marilyn is one of them and has a beautiful painting featured. I'm not currently the high bid on it, which I'm disappointed in. And we also have some other artists who have participated in our extreme plein air. They go on a backpacking trip and do plein air painting in the backcountry. Aaron Johnson is one of those, Carol Maddox, Ed Robinson, and we've got a few photographers as well that have done the extreme plein air. Joe Foster and Marjolein Grutina-Blink have some photography in the show. We also have some originals from Karen Robinson, who is Friends of Scotch and Peaks Wilderness's inaugural artist in residence. We love Karen. And we've got other pieces from Diana Moses and Susan Conway Keene. And we also have a couple prints. They're photography prints that are on 24 by 36 metal by Carrie Chisholm. His daughter worked for us as our winter tracks coordinator a couple years ago while I was out on maternity leave. And we're so glad that we made that connection with the Chisholms. They're wonderful people. And Carrie's pieces are stunning in person. So you can bid now. If you want to kind of get a pre-show, you can get online, go to scotchandpeaks.org/events and click on the Wild Night for Wilderness, and you'll find a link to the auction in it. There's also a link if you find our Facebook event. There's a link to the auction items, and then we'll have them in person Thursday night, again at Matchwood Brewing from 4:30 to 8, so you can see the pieces in person, and then bidding closes at the end of the event.
Exciting.
Yeah, there's some fabulous art. I don't think the piece is in this show, but Aaron Johnson did a piece a few years back on the extreme plein air where he took the blood from some mosquitoes and used them to help create some color that he applied to the piece of paper that he was painting on. It was just fabulous.
Did he really? I have not heard that story yet.
No, he experiments with a lot of things, a lot of textural things, using sources of materials from nature to help amend the colors. It's really interesting.
That's awesome. And Aaron brought his daughter on the extreme plein air this year too, which was a really great experience for her, I think.
I think one of the most fascinating things with looking at a collection like this is the diversity of style from people who have some of the similar inspirations and techniques, and yet they manifest themselves, they express themselves differently. And that's where really the artist comes in.
It's true. And, you know, I know Marilyn is a watercolorist. I know Ed is more of an oil, using oil, although I think he watercolors too. And then, of course, photography. So lots of styles.
Well, interesting that, you know, Ed was once my boss at the Department of Lands. And Karen, his wife, and I worked together for many years. And we always talked about our art. And he didn't start painting until I retired. And Karen was always a fabulous painter and working really hard at it. So it's just wonderful to see this happen.
It is. And it's not an obvious connection, I would say, between foresters and painting. So it's neat that y'all have been able to come there and know one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is neat.
So give us the event details one more time.
Yep. So it is this Thursday, November 8th at Matchwood Brewing here in Sandpoint over in the Greenery District by Evans Brothers. And it's 4:30 to 8 with music starting at 5. And if you haven't been to Matchwood yet, it is a family-friendly establishment. They've even got a couple kids' cubbies. And I have had my toddler playing in one of the kid cubbies. There's a little kitchen, and she had a good time. So you can totally bring the family out.
So I can bring my mom.
Yes, you can bring your mom.
I know she's listening. There's a play area for you, Mom.
Maybe she can play with my daughter.
But not the dogs, I have a feeling.
Yeah. Not the dogs, because they do serve food.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. I think that education factor, bringing kids, and by chance their parents, but the kids, we need to get kids to love nature, because you don't protect something unless you love it. And these kids are so fortunate here compared to kids in the urban areas where they can take these tracking classes and get out there. That's what I think Scotchman's has done so well for our area and for the people in it.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. That's a common topic on the Tuesday morning show, because we do try and select topics that are related to the outdoors, recreation, wilderness, and it often does involve kids getting out into it.
It's so important. So many programs from local organizations getting kids out, and it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Including the Friends with our Winter Tracks program, and getting kids out in the summer too, is we do some family strolls sometimes, and it is important to have them establish that sense of place.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to find out more information about that?
They can go to our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, and for information on Winter Tracks, go to the events tab, and you'll see Winter Tracks listed there, or they can email me at britta@scotchmanpeaks.org.
And ICL has a number of programs too. Shelby, tell us a little bit about some of the key ones here and how folks can find out more.
Yeah, well, everything will be on our Idaho Conservation League website, as well as Facebook. So anything that's going on, whether it's in North Idaho here, Central or South, you'll be able to find out through those resources. As well as our monthly e-news will also go out. So it's pretty easy to sign up. You don't necessarily even need to be a member, but just sign up for these newsletters to find out what's going on in the Sandpoint area.
And there's so much going on year-round with these organizations and others. We're going to take a short music break here in a moment, come back and talk about some upcoming events. But before we do that, before we close out, any last-minute thoughts?
Well, I can really support ICL, too. I'm a member of that, and they're doing incredible things for our environment, and we need to do that, because this shifting baseline syndrome where kids only know normal, which is degraded, and see that as normal. So I think it's really important that kids are...
Learn what normal is.
What really undegraded environment looks like.
I also forgot to mention another type of art, the beer variety. In the Wild Art Auction, we have one of Matchwood's Golden Growlers.
Oh,
if you aren't familiar with those, you get 50% off a fill a day on select beer. So the savings could really add up. So you can bid on the honor of holding on to that Golden Growler for a year. So you could save a lot of money by spending a little bit.
I know I speak for most of Sandpoint when I say we're really excited to have a fourth crafts brewery in town. That truly is an art.
Definitely. They have some great beer there.
Or at least I speak for myself.
Of course. And Shelby, thank you. Any last words?
Yeah. Well, this actually just popped into my head, too. Going off of Artists in Residence, on December 7th, we will have our Artists in Residence holiday party and reception featuring Jessica L. Bryant. And so,
is that through new artist resident?
No, it's through our 2018.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just honoring her and her watercolor work.
They're beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so that will be here in town at the Columbia Bank Community Plaza.
Something to look for. Neat.
Thank you all three for coming in this morning. We're going to close out this segment of the show appropriately with a little.